Pastor Will Cravens, and I am actually the pastor of Bridge Community Church that meets in this building at 5 p.m. every Sunday. And this is my good friend, Jeff Good, a number of you know, who's pastor of Christ Community Church that meets here at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning. We're thrilled to have you all with us. And it's strange to imagine for a minute that you'd celebrate the birth of a child at the same time you'd also talk about their eulogy, their death, right? I mean, it'd be strange to say, let's talk about somebody's birthday and then also eulogize them. We're with Jesus Christ, when we talk about his birthday that we celebrate tomorrow, we come together tonight to think about that, to stop and reflect on what that means. We also are reminded of his purpose, his ultimate purpose, that he came, God in the form of a man, knowing that he was going to die at some point on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind. And so with that in mind, we're about to take communion to remember what Jesus did for us, that the juice represents the blood of Christ shed for you and for me. For every mistake we've made, that we're making, or that we're going to make, he paid the price because he wants a relationship with us. And the bread symbolizes his body broken for you and for me, that we might know how much he loves us. So we want to stop at this point in the service and remember that. And because we're two congregations coming together, we're really trying to say tonight, we're really one congregation. It's really about the Lord's church, not either, right? Anybody with me on that? Yeah. It's about his church. When we get to heaven, there's not going to be 100 denominations. It's going to be one church under Christ. And so while we are a couple churches, though, for organization purposes, where we meet here in the morning and the evening, we do celebrate communion a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So Jeff is going to explain how it's going to work tonight. So
thank you. Well, this is actually an answer to prayer, too. When Jesus, just before he ascended, was crucified, ascended, raised from the dead, and ascended back to his Father, he prayed that his friends, his followers, would be one. Not, as Will said, two or three. He said, it's only going to be one church in heaven. And I thought that was a little weak response to that. Is that true? There's only going to be one church in heaven, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
This is a very significant evening. It's just good to see all of us friends together celebrating the communion table. It's a table where we remember the death of Christ, but it's also a table where we remember we don't walk alone. We come together as friends. And so we just say at Christ Community Church that you're welcome to come. If you said just a simple yes to Jesus as best you understand him, as best you understand Jesus and what he accomplished, if you said yes to that in your heart, you're welcome to come. And if you're at peace with your brother, sister, family member, this is a table that symbolizes we have done the work of saying forgiveness, staying in forgiveness and working with each other and loving each other. So our practice here is to take the cup. You can come forward, and my wife Cindy will be with me up here. Sandra will be with Will. There's a couple from Bridge back there and a couple from Christ Community, although they're not married. Let me explain that. No, we don't.
They're married to different people, not each other.
Thank you, Will. Yeah.
Thank you.
You got my back. So, thank you. So, what we do is we bring the cup, and bread, and Cindy and I will be here, and Sandra and Will will be there. And you can come and break a piece off of the bread, remembering the body of Christ, and then dip it into the cup, remembering the precious blood of Jesus shed for our sins and our brokenness and for our healing. And then you can come. We don't dismiss by rows. You can come if you're inclined. If you're not inclined, that's fine too. No judgment made. You can just stay and enjoy the time that we have to worship. So let me just take a moment and offer this time to the Lord. Father, thank you for this table. We do thank you for your broken body and your blood that was shed for us on the cross. We thank you for your great love, your great forgiveness, your great mercy. Thank you for friends, Father. Thank you that we get to come together as one this evening. And that we commit this time to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You can either come forward or back and just come when you're ready.
Let's hear it for our band, huh? is we are actually trying to do a bit of a combo service to celebrate both churches becoming one on this Christmas Eve. And so as we're doing that, our bands have joined different members, and Jeff and I are kind of tag teaming, which means the message will be twice as long, which is what everybody wants on Christmas Eve. It's our gift to you. So in all honesty, you know, when you stop and think about Christmas Eve, what kind of thoughts come to your mind? Huh? We actually want to show you a video clip, and this is with regard to what Christmas is all about. So we're going to set that up for you right now. For some of you, you see that video and you go, it's a little late, right? I mean, I already bought my Christmas presents, so this just makes me feel guilty. If that's the case for you, you know there's always those gifts you're not going to like or they're not going to fit. You could take them back and then just give stuff away to help others, right? We actually wanted to show that just with this mindset of what Christmas becomes. And if you stop and just, I don't know if you caught it, but the part that gets me every time I've seen that video is $450 billion. Spent on Christmas every year? Is that not throw anybody off? Is that right? Was that the figure? That just throws it a little bit, right, when you think of those who are less fortunate. But let's stop and kind of dial that back. Do you remember, for those kids that are here that are thinking, come on, let's finish the service, and maybe some adults that are thinking that too, we stop and go, you know, I don't know what the way you thought as a kid, but here's what I thought. Presents. I can't wait till tomorrow. I remember we had a program at the Christmas Eve service, and I would count down, okay, we're on the third song. There's five songs. Then we get to go home. We're going to eat food, and tomorrow morning is presents. That's all I thought. It was countdown to presents. It was all it was about. So here's the thing. Do you remember as a kid one gift you really wanted? Try to think for a minute. Some gift you really wanted. Tell the person next to you one gift you really wanted as a kid. If you can't think, tell them one you want now. Go ahead. This is your part to meet somebody near you and tell them a gift you wanted. Okay, you don't have to explain everything about the gift, just the simple telling the gift, and move on. Hey, when I was a kid, there was a show that one of my favorite TV shows was The $6 Million Man, and with a few names for him, Steve Austin, Stone Cold stole the name later, and was also known as the Bionic Man. Of course, it would be probably the $6 Billion Man if it were today, because that wouldn't probably fix his arm, and but the idea was this guy who was an astronaut and he crashes and he has to get his body partly rebuilt. Gets a bionic arm, two legs that are, was like this metal that could do anything. He could run faster than any human. He could throw anything faster. And he had a bionic eye. And for Christmas, I told my parents, if I just got the Bionic Man, I would be happy. And here he is. And this is not if you're like, you saved him. Like, no, I had to buy him on eBay for probably three times the amount. But but you can, like, if you see it, there's a little hole here you can look through because he was bionic, and you can't really see that good anyway. But he did this thing. If you push his arm, he picked up stuff, and you can actually peel. It was kind of creepy. You could peel the skin back on his arm and see the metal. And anyway, that's it. That's the Bionic Man. And do you remember when you got that toy you wanted or that thing you wanted? How long? You're like, if I just had that. You watch the commercials as a kid, and you're like, if I had that thing, I'll be happy. And then you get the thing, and how long are you actually happy? I mean, if this really did it for me, I'd be carrying them everywhere. Like, hey, I'd probably be working for Mattel. If only you had one of these in your life, you'd be happy. And then for the girls, because marketers are really pretty pretty impressive, they came out with a bionic lady. She's kind of scary. But don't judge me. She came as a set with eBay, so I didn't like, I want her too. She was part of it, and I didn't want him to be lonely. So there's the bionic couple. They did have a bionic dog later, and there was even a bionic Bigfoot for anybody that that watched the show. My point is just this, that, you know, you get that one thing in your mind that you're like, if I just had that, I'd be content, happy, whatever. And you know, we could do that same thing we do as kids, as adults. And think if I just had the bigger house, the better deal, if you're single, if you're married and you're in a rough marriage, if only I were single again, maybe, who knows, I'm not a judge, but where are you at? What are you discontent at all in your life right now? And you're led to believe falsely that if I only had X, I'd be happy. If there were only this one thing. So if I'm real honest with you, when I was a kid like that, Jesus didn't have anything to do with Christmas for me. Jeff, how about you? What did Jesus have to do with your Christmas?
When Will first, we began to talk about this, I was actually taken back a bit by that question. I've been around the church, in the church a long time, and I deal with the fact that maybe I've gotten off track just a little bit. Church is a little bit too big, and I sometimes get my attention off Jesus. So when we were talking about this, I thought, well, what do I love about Jesus? Not about the church and all that goes on. That's important. That's good. But what do I love about Jesus? But we don't want to let you off the hook. Think for just a second. What do you love about Jesus? What do you love about him? How would you answer that? What I love about Jesus is what he does to my heart when I'm anxious. I deal with anxiety, and I deal with being anxious on a fairly regular basis. Here's a pretty good image of what I feel like on a pretty regular basis. It actually is a colorized photo of when I was pretty young. So, but I resonate with that. I wake up regularly anxious. Several years ago, it got to a point where my wife said, Cindy said, Jeff, I think you need to get some input on that. It was pretty regular, the anxiety. It actually went into something a little deeper. And she said, I think you need some input, counselor. So I had my first visit with a psychiatrist. See, I know we get all dressed up. We put on smiles. We come to a place like this, but there's stuff going on in our hearts. There's stuff going on in our relationships. And some of us are dealing with some significant emotions this evening, even in the midst of all this joy, and we look pretty good. And I realized that I needed something outside of religion, outside of even my traditions. One of the first verses that was very helpful to me is this one, John 14:1. This was a very significant verse to me, and what I remembered about where this fits in the Bible is this is some of the last words that Jesus ever said to his friends before he went to the cross, was crucified, and raised again. This was one of the statements he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And I was struck with that first word, that little word let. Don't let your heart be troubled. I really didn't like it because that kind of meant that I had some responsibility in this. And I couldn't blame some other people for the condition of my heart and what was going on. And the Lord said to me, Jeff, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe and trust. And so what I learned through this was I needed to express my trust in Jesus. And it was very helpful to me to even verbalize that. Jesus, I trust you. I trust you with this challenge. I trust you with what's making me anxious this morning. I trust you with that. That anxiety that I was dealing with was dealt with, focused on some financial situations, some situations here, and those situations didn't change overnight. God had to do something in me, not in my circumstances. The other verse that meant a lot to me was John 14:27. Just a little bit later in the same conversation that Jesus is having with his friends, he says this, I'm going to give peace. I'm going to leave peace with you. And it's my peace. It's not the kind of peace that you can go and buy like Will was talking about. It's not the kind of peace that you go and it comes and goes. Now, this my peace is going to last beyond the circumstances. It's not going to be based on circumstances. So don't let your heart be troubled. There it is again. Do not be afraid. I needed to think about that. I needed to figure out a time to just think about Jesus sharing those truths with me in my innermost being. Well, that circumstance was many, many years ago, actually, at this point. But just about 2 weeks ago, I woke up again anxious. It's not something that has gone away in my life and my makeup. So I woke up anxious, and often I'll go out and I'll just run. And sometimes that's exactly what I need to do. But this particular morning, about 2 weeks ago, I felt this compulsion to not go and run. I felt the compulsion to go sit. and be quiet. And I sat and I got quiet for just a few moments in the morning. And it was a bit like Jesus was, we were having a conversation and I was hearing these reminders in my heart, in my mind, that my God is good. My God is sovereign. He's over even the worst of my anxious situations, even some of the horrendous situations in the world. Our God is sovereign over that and that evil. And he's powerful. He doesn't wring his hands. He doesn't wonder how he's going to deal with some of this. And I needed to be reminded of that. And I just sat there that morning in the quietness of my home. I just heard this reminder to say again in my mind and my heart, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. I needed to remember that. What I found helpful in all this tendency to get distracted, to forget the focus that I need to have, are reminders. One of them is this tie. This tie was designed by a 9-year-old girl at the time named Nicole Abinajan. Nicole was dealing with a very aggressive childhood cancer. She was a niece in our family. She designed this tie during the course of her treatment. Brian Musselman has one on. Some of you might have one on around Christ Community at the time, too. But there's a story that Nicole was in Sunday school, and she was about a month away from when she would walk into the presence of Jesus herself. And they were in Sunday school, and the girls were responding to a question, what are you afraid of? And they were sharing their fears, and one girl said, I'm afraid of dying. Well, Nicole evidently wasn't paying attention at that point in time, but she heard that girl say, I'm afraid of dying. And Nicole's head whipped around, and she just said, I'm not afraid of dying, as a 12-year-old. That brought peace to my heart. This tie reminds me of the peace that a 12-year-old girl had, 12-year-old niece. The other focus that I need to keep in my mind is this picture. It's in my office. Maybe you've seen this by a French photographer. It sits in the wall of my office because I need to look at this often. Because this reminds me that even though there is a storm surging around me, even though the world could be falling apart around me, I can have the peace of that lighthouse keeper. The thing that intrigues me, I think we might have a little bit more of a closer, if you can see his hand, what intrigued me about this is his hands in his pocket. It's like the picture of cash, casual. He's at peace. A lot of urban legend around this. You can go on YouTube. The guy survived. He didn't. He's okay. Some of you might have heard that the waves came and got him. It didn't. There's a YouTube about him being interviewed about this whole thing. So he just went inside. But that's what I long for that on a regular basis. I need that sense of peace on a regular basis. It's not based on the storms around me because they don't change. They stay. But God, through his word, through his spirit, through his power, can help my internals know something of peace and rest and calm in the midst of anxiousness. So Will, you said peace sometimes wasn't tied to some of the toys you had. So especially with the bionic man not working, how are you dealing with peace these days?
Thanks, Jeff. Hey, you know, great question for all of us. Think back in your mind, what's like one of the best Christmases you ever had where you did experience peace? Or a time in your life where you just experienced peace? When we were kicking this around, I actually have a memory where it was kind of probably strange for like a 19-year-old to do, but I was about 19 years old, I was home for Christmas, and I kind of wanted to feel that sense of Christmas again and feel actually closer to Christ because I had a relationship with Jesus at the time. And my best friend, a guy named Ed Pelsner, I grew up in Reston just up the road. We had a ton of woods behind our house back then before they built a bunch of neighborhoods there. But at that time, Ed and I had a fort back there when we were kids. I'm like, dude, wouldn't it be cool tonight, Christmas Eve? Let's go back there. And late at night, and me and Eddie, went back in the woods, and we built a fire, and it was a cold night, not like this summer weather we're having right now. And it was really cold. We went back there. We built a fire, and we sat there, and we talked about life. I'll never forget this Christmas Eve. We sat around the fire talking about life and Jesus and where we're going to end up. Some of you might know, my friend Ed actually is on the street now, and I went looking for him a couple months ago. You can pray for Ed Pelsner. It's somebody we're praying for regularly. But with that shared, that night, when I think back on that, we had peace. We had a sense of, let's talk about life and what it means to trust Jesus with our life. And Eddie and I are just sitting there having that conversation. I don't know what that would look like for you. One of the things that gives me peace, how many people feel like you blow it a lot in life? You make some mistakes. Anybody? If somebody didn't raise their hand next to you, you can ask them how they're doing it, because they're apparently, they've got it down and you don't. Or ask them how long they've been struggling with pride. But with regard to this idea of you and I going, well, how do we get through it? One of the things that brings me peace about Jesus is this, that Jesus had a reputation that he hung out with sinners. He hung out with really messed up people and loved them. And he didn't, you know, the idea of Emmanuel, you hear that in Christmas songs, it's used in Luke chapter 2. Emmanuel means God with us, that Jesus was willing to be with us. God, in the form of a man, Jesus Christ, came to be with us. But he didn't come for the socially elite. He didn't come for even the religious leaders. In fact, they were annoyed with him because he kept hanging out with sinners. My favorite verse is he calls a tax collector, a corrupt tax collector by the name of Levi. He calls him and says, I want you to follow me. The religious leaders are like, why does he want him to follow him? And then Levi's like, dude, I'm throwing a party for you tonight. And they have a big party at his house. It's found in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, says this, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, and they were there. There were many with him who followed him. And there's Jesus at the dinner table, you know, with a bunch of sinners. And you see it again in Luke chapter 15, is at a table with a group of people, and the religious leaders, again, don't understand it. It's a trademark of his. He hung out with messed up people. Now, I was diagnosed kind of ADHD kind of kid. I am easily distracted. Anybody else distracted? I thought I saw a squirrel. Anybody see that? Wait a second. See, I haven't taken my medicine. Here's the thing. So I don't just keep rambling. You know, my point in doing that was this. That we can all be distracted in life. We can miss the purpose. And it's our reminder this evening that the purpose is Jesus. Not just that it's about him, but it's about the fact that he loves you. He wants a relationship with you. He came to die for you so we could have that. And whether you get distracted by toys, big ones or little ones, whether you get distracted by another human or some job position or some title or some sports position, that it's always about Jesus, that he loves us. And it's just, Jeff and I really wanted to remind each and every one of us this evening, including ourselves, that peace comes from our relationship with him. So that before we get distracted by something else, that we dive back into him. So, yeah. Jeff, you want to?
We're going to close the time this evening by thinking about this ring of candles called the Advent wreath. And what we're going to do is end by taking the light from the Christ candle, and then we're going to pass it back, row by row, person by person. But here's where it needs to turn from just a nice Christmas Eve tradition, kind of a nice thing, people passing candles, and it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than just a nice Christmas Eve religious tradition. It's got to be more than that. It's got to mean something more to you. So I want you to think for just a second, wherever you are in your religious journey, wherever you are, some of you are still asking some very significant questions. You've not really arrived at any significant conclusions yet. In fact, you've got some major, major obstacles in your religious journey, and you're just major questions, and that's really good and welcomed. Some of you have been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. But here's the point. Think about, how are you going to stay focused on what's most important about this season, about this time, about Jesus? What's a way that you can stay focused and not get distracted? Think about that just for a second. What is it? Maybe it's a phrase that you could just remember and speak on a regular basis. It could be just, Jesus, help me trust you like I need to on a regular, very regular basis. Maybe it's something that you need to put up. Maybe it's something that you need to look at and remember on a regular basis. But what is it that might help you stay focused and remember who Jesus is, what he means to you? What does that look like? What does that mean for you? So this tradition that we've done is we'll start from the Christ candle. And as this is, the light has passed, think about how you're going to stay focused on the light. But then think too, how can you share this? What is a way that you could pass this on, that the light of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, his joy, what he means to you, what are some ways that that could be passed from you to somebody that you love and care about? So think about that too as we enjoy this song and we enjoy this reality of remembering that Jesus is indeed the light of the world.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep.
Thank you for joining us this evening. We wish you a very Merry Christmas. Go in peace.